Welcome into our Better Farming podcast in association with WorkSafe. Now, effective leadership is important at any organisation and across any sector, but none more so than farming. So in this episode, we're going to look at what effective leadership looks like and why it's so important, why we need it on our farms. My name is Rowena Duncombe, and joining me is Andrew Morrison, Chair of Beef and Lamb New Zealand and WorkSafe's Al McCone. And Andrew, let's start with you. As Chair of Beef and Lamb, how important is good leadership in your organisation?
Hi guys, thanks for having me in today. Yeah, look, it's the way I look at it, through the lens I look at it, is I am a farmer first and foremost, and much as I'm the Chair of Beef and Lamb New Zealand, I can kind of understand the risks when I'm back on farm for the people I've got working there. I've got family members that come on farm. It's important to me that I protect those people because they're the kind of people I like working with and they're the kind of people I kind of love as family. So if you sort of you bring it up from there, and then you can understand why it's important. Now, when we started this WorkSafe journey a number of years ago, I think people were quite scared because they thought it was going to be a formalised or a scary process. They thought it was all about health and safety reports and things like that. But what we just had to do was normalise this and get people to realise that, look, this was just actually protecting your people within your business and protecting your business and actually protecting yourself. So, yeah, look, I think we've got to a really healthy space after a number of years of just getting people's heads in the space.
Al, what have you seen from a WorkSafe perspective? What changes have you seen with organisations who have accepted the challenge to come on board with WorkSafe and look at the leadership within their company, their organisation?
Well, I don't actually see it as them coming on board with WorkSafe. I think it's more them seeing that health and safety is a great way to do, a great part of a successful business. The changes I've seen over the last few years is the willingness of organisations like Beef and Lamb and Dairy NZ and Federated Farmers and Rural Woman to step up. Shouldn't forget Horticulture New Zealand as well. They've stepped up and they've been putting out the message, you know, don't treat this as a chore. Don't treat this as just a compliance activity. This is a way to run a better business.
And like Andrew said, normalising it, yeah. I think that is just so key.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because, you know, you always have some stories from years ago. And I was speaking to a guy, and his first job on a farm as a young guy, the farmer says, look, guy, I want to cut the hedge. So what I want to do is I'm going to pick up the hay rack and you're going to stand at the end of it and I'm going to pick it up with my tractor and you're going to have a chainsaw and I'm going to flick you up and down the hedge and you're going to cut that hedge. Now, if you're a young guy just working on a farm and it's your new boss, you're going to say, you're not going to say to him, well, I don't actually feel that safe doing that. So what we've got to get to a point where we actually, the young people say, hey, look, and I say this to my guys that work on farm, if you're not comfortable doing this, let me know, because the last thing I want to do is have a conversation with your partner or your family and you've been injured. So that's why I say, take it right back to that first conversation. If you personalise it and you like the people, then there's an absolute reason why you'll protect them.
Yep.
And I think the way that farmers operate, or the very nature of the industry, is there is always going to be risk. It's how you deal with it and how much emphasis you put on keeping your staff safe, keeping yourself safe. That's what's the difference here.
Yeah, and Andrew and I actually had this conversation not so long ago about farmers are some of the best people in New Zealand in managing risk. You know, I talk about flying over Marlborough and looking down and seeing Doug Avery's place with his Lucerne, because that's his way of managing the risk. And flying out from Timaru the other day, just out of Geraldine, and there's just all this water being collected as risk management against drought. And farmers are great in managing risk. And what they need to do is start thinking, well, what risks are there to the people that make my business work every day?
For me, good leadership is being approachable, and if you have made a mistake or you're uncomfortable about how something is being done on farm, being able to be approached by your staff who can raise an issue and then it's dealt with. Is that the same for you, Andrew?
Yeah, very much so. Like, I mean, and as I say, we've got a young 18-year-old girl who was her first job on a farm working for us at the moment. Now, you know that there's a bunch of stuff that they're going to have to learn. Now, and so you want to sort of say, hey, look, do you feel comfortable doing this? You know, we have our health and safety plan and we have all the go, no-go areas on farms, on quad bikes. So we use side-by-side for the manager, but we've got a quad bike with a rollover protective structure for the young person. But you've just got to say, hey, look, if you're not comfortable, don't do it. And we'll just work, you know, we'll train you over time. you know, I would hate, as I say, it's I would hate to have that conversation with anyone if anyone, you know, if a family member gets injured.
I think there's another thing here too. You know, if you think about the people you've worked for and the jobs you've had, you know, if you've had a job where you feel like you can say things and at least you'll be listened to, you become much more engaged in that business. So that whole thing about you start giving more of your time to the business, less begrudgingly, you will put in that extra effort when asked. All those sort of things, because you're an engaged worker. And I think that whole communication piece of the boss being willing to listen to you, to take on your view, to listen to your suggestions about how you might do things better and not poo-poo them, but say, well, actually, we tried that and, you know, those sort of things are just, they're the things that make businesses safer and they're also great business practices.
It's a massive learning opportunity for those new to the industry. Do you think sometimes as farmers, we're perfectionists, we want everything to go right first time, we're either time poor or we just don't like doing things a second time. Are we setting ourselves up to fail and being unrealistic to think accidents aren't going to happen on farm?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they are. And I mean, a big component of it is getting tired and having weather constraints, or there'll be busy times of the year. You'll know calving and lambing's busy. In the old days, you know, shearing was busy, haymaking was busy times. So, look, what I'd encourage is just a whole bunch of planning going into, you know, I talk about known knowns. If it's a known busy time, you know, just resource appropriately, get enough people in to do the job, and just understand that's when your risk profile is. It's the busy time. Something I will call out with young people is young people are great, but can you remember when your mum and dad told you stuff and you go, well, actually, I know better? And so this is one of the challenges we do have with young people on farms. When you sort of talk through the health and safety stuff, and one of the great examples is working with cattle and cattle yards, where the time we see people where you say, look, I wouldn't be putting my arm through that rail and pushing that cattle beast up or vaccinating that, and you'll still see somebody do that. So it is the ability for everyone in a situation to understand why you're conveying that there's a risk profile, and then they listen. So look, there's two parts of that conversation. There's a busyness component, but plus there's a, hey, let's listen, because, you know, I might have made that mistake last year and I'm just passing on to you that I don't want you making the same mistake.
I think there's another side to this too, though, and that is, safety isn't necessarily about not making mistakes. Safety is about not getting injured or harmed when a mistake occurs. And I think you had a good example. You've put some crush protection on your quads. So, okay, there will be a day somewhere on a farm, somewhere in New Zealand, someone will roll a quad today. Okay? In most cases, they get thrown clear or they manage to scramble away or whatever. In some cases, they don't. In those cases, if you've got something in place that is there and it doesn't depend on a human doing the right thing, you're more likely to survive. And so we talk about as providing a softer landing. When a mistake happens, just make sure the opportunity for harm is lessened. And shearing's got a perfect example with the new shearing machines, where the drive disconnects immediately, there's a jam. So whereas, 10 years ago, the thing would be flying all around the board.
Yeah, we used to have the straight drives, then we introduced the spline drives, and then there's been development that one step further, as you say, where the machine just effectively disengages.
Yeah. And those things mean, you know, every shearer makes a mistake eventually, and those things just mean that they're less likely to be harmed when that mistake occurs. And that's the way we should be thinking about the harm on our farm. Don't depend on people doing things right every time. Try and put in place some things that create an opportunity for harm to be reduced when the mistake occurs.
I love that idea and that concept of creating a soft landing. And I think for me, having moved through the levels of farming, one of the best bosses I ever worked for was someone who would take the time to explain to me what the procedure was and why we were doing it. Like, we don't push the cows up. If they start lifting their heads, they can't see where their feet are going, they're going to get hurt. Because it's not just about not hurting ourselves, it's about making sure our livestock are safe as well.
Yeah, look, and I was just trying to think back. Our latest injury on the farm was a dog bite. Now, so we go back to the health and safety plans, we drop a health and safety plan. What had failed, you know, accidents have always got the chance of occurring. And what I hadn't written in my health and safety plan to a young shepherd was, if your dog jumps over a fence, gets hooked up on the fence, and you've got to disengage it, whip your jacket off, wrap the dog's head up, and it can't bite you. And I hadn't written that into my plan. I hadn't even thought about it. As an older farmer, I knew that, but I hadn't passed that information on. And so then they're having a formalised process. Once we had the dog bite event, I could write that into the plan, so the next person that comes onto the farm, I can pass that on. And so that was a great learning experience. But it was a great example. You've got a million things on a farm that you have to think about, and I hadn't thought about that one.
But you can't be expected to think about everything all the time as well. So that's where giving people the opportunity to experience and make mistakes without too serious a harm is a way for them to learn some of those things as well.
Mm.
I think also a good learning opportunity is going through some of the competitions that we've got in place. We've got the Young Grower of the Year in Horticulture New Zealand. We've got the Dairy Industry Awards. We've got the FMG Young Farmer of the Year. We've got the Balanced Farm Environment Awards. And going through some of those processes, you start to see the formalisation around health and safety plans. For some people, it is their first experience with that, and actually coming to realise that a lot of the practice we do on farm is really good practice, but if we formalise it, then we know that people coming into our operation, they know that is the standard we expect, and that safeguards them if anything were to happen and we had to walk away from the farm at a moment's notice.
Yep. And again, that's part of, here's some organisations showing some leadership and saying, we will protect the people in our competition, and we will expect them to show that they can do that.
Mm. There's a whole bunch of stuff that people in the rural community are thinking about, Rowena, and you're quite right, you know, the competitions. But otherwise, you know, and that's why I'm a pretty basic sort of a guy. Like, I'm a farmer, and all I want to do is normalise the stuff. And so when we're talking about water quality and you're doing your fencing plans or whatever, this is all the stuff I've got to embed in our systems, that we just normalise this. So, yeah, look, competitions and things are great, but, you know, we've got a bunch of guys, older people on farms making decisions, you know, transitioning young people into, who may never get in front of a judging panel, but you know, they're still our vulnerable sector of the community. And so that's where I say that, to me, it's about normalising it. And when we did the health and safety plans at Beef and Lamb New Zealand, we used to run the workshops, and I used to attend some of them, and I used to love it, because what was fascinating, everyone was worried about how they were going to get through this new legislation, and I sort of have this vision of people walking through the door and going, ah, and their shoulders would drop and they would relax and they go, thanks, now I can understand how I'm going to get through this. Because, and what I found from that process is, most people had made those decisions on farm and were protecting themselves, but they hadn't formalised it in the new world. So when we gave them the template to formalise it, then they felt like they were absolving their legal responsibility, but plus it helped them realise they were thinking about these things anyway, and then they started thinking about the next level too. And it was a really good process.
Mm.
Some of what we see on sheep and beef farms is also people who are great shepherds suddenly being told they're going to be great managers, they're going to be great managing people, and possibly they haven't had the training to do that. And that's where I think also a lot of the beef and lamb workshops and training programs actually do come along, because if we're helping our people to be better people managers, then a lot of that health and safety is going to come naturally with that as well.
Mm. Look, I mean, I simplify it. I actually just say to my manager on my farm, because I'm always in Wellington doing things, but I say to him, look, just treat your staff like it's your daughter or your son and they're having their first job. Now, how would you like people to treat your daughter or son if they're out there? So if you treat somebody like family within your organisation and have that oversight over them, it sort of kind of becomes natural. Yeah, so you're quite right, and it's just understanding, as you say, Rowena, people move up their different levels of decision-making in any business. They've got to kind of just keep taking that mantra with them, like just check that the guy underneath you is effectively like your younger brother, your son or whatever, and treat them accordingly.
It's a great litmus test, isn't it, Al, treating people like your family, because the farming industry as a whole is like a big family as well.
Yeah, it is, and I think the thing is, we had a campaign which was about use your mouth, and 90% of safety is just people being prepared to think and talk. You know, yes, it's great to formalise things, it's great to have plans, but plans no good if it's sitting on the shelf. You've got to do what Andrew does, and they operationalise it all over their farm. And so if everyone's talking, if everyone feels comfortable to talk, as you often do in families, then things start working properly.
Andrew, what's the role of organisations like Beef and Lamb in ensuring good practice on farm is followed? Is that a show of good leadership from above, making sure that everyone is on track with their compliance with their health and safety?
Well, I suppose, yeah, if you were saying, I suppose the answer is yes, but the trouble is we don't want to turn this into a compliance thing. We want to turn this into, this is the thing we do because this is the thing we do. And I suppose I'd rather look at it from that lens. I mean, I don't see myself as a leader. I see myself as somebody participating that's prepared to have conversations. And look, I want to say, look, I could trip over tomorrow and make a mistake in this space because there's always the potential that something happens on farm because they are inherently challenging environments. But I'm not worried about that because what I'm trying to do is just understand the risks and get better. But so to get back to your question, I don't know the role of Beef and Lamb. Let's provide the tools that people can do their health and safety plans. Let's provide the workshops. Let's keep upskilling the future farmers and the likes. But it's not about a compliance thing. It's about a mindset thing. And it's about understanding the risk thing and what an individual wants to do about it.
For a lot of farmers, they're in a similar situation to you. I mean, they're not chairman of Beef and Lamb, but they are involved in so many organisations as well as the farm. They're flying to and from meetings like you are. How do you manage fatigue and make sure you are giving each of those hats, each of those roles, your all? How do you safeguard your own safety?
Yeah, well, that's a challenge, you know what I mean? Because, especially with flights being changed now, these are very early morning starts out of bed in Southland. They're very late flights back down by the time you drag out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, jump on a plane, and then...
And that's if the plane actually gets out of Dunedin Airport and you don't have to keep coming back.
We'll be catching a plane at 6:15. So, I mean, you just have to make provisions. And, you know, I'm not a particularly good guy at doing that because you have some very busy lives. So don't use me as a role model.
Al, if you were dealing with someone like Andrew who's just made those admissions, what would your advice to Andrews of this world be?
I think Andrew is very humble, so he understates his ability to manage these things. But the real thing here is there's a risk, and you understand that risk, and then so you put in place some things. So you might go to bed earlier the night before so that you're better rested. You might make sure that there's something on the table when you get up to grab as you go from shower to car sort of thing, to eat and drink coffee in the car or whatever. But I think the other side of it is great farmers, like most great small business people, are very good at managing priorities. And that really is the secret. So you identify what is the really important stuff and you get on and do that and you work out how you're going to do that in the most effective manner. And great people, you watch them on their farm and it all seems so easy because while they're going to do one job, they'll drop off some stuff for another job later on, whereas the not so effective ones will be going to do one job and then having to go all the way back to the house or the yard to get something to take to the other job. It's those sort of things where you start seeing the difference between the people that are pressured all the time and the people that can manage what they have to do.
And that's absolutely a fatigue thing as well. If you're tired, you're not going to think in terms of how can I make the most efficient use of my time. That is a very common thing. Do you think we're doing enough in the space of leadership, these competitions, these workshops, having mentors in place? Could we be doing more?
I think, you know, with leadership in any small business, we as a country could always be doing more. What has really encouraged me, and I'll talk about the COVID response, what I saw was the major agricultural organisations stepping up really quickly and having a great response, which farmers took on board really quickly. I have no concerns about the leadership of agriculture across New Zealand. The leadership I really worry about is the on-farm leadership that sets the culture on the farm. And that some of the people, as you mentioned before, have become managers or farm owners without actually getting a decent background on how to create a culture that is a better culture to work in.
Would you agree?
Yeah, it's actually really good you call that out, Al, because I was just so proud of the essential services in New Zealand when we went through COVID, that, you know, the meat companies, the fertiliser companies, the farmlands and the things like this. First and foremost, their role was to protect people. But then it enabled us to still keep processing, because we were hugely concerned around the on-farm implications. If we couldn't harvest our horticulture, couldn't milk our cows and get that processed, couldn't get our animals killed or processed, I should say. And so we were, you know, that could have manifested into a really significant issue for New Zealand. So really, really proud of how, first and foremost, we protected people, then enabled them. The other thing is, we were joking, Rowena, as we come in here, I don't think anyone in the farming community didn't enjoy lockdown, because it actually gave us time to have a bit of a reset.
Yeah.
And we could sit on farm and we could do our stuff, but it was actually a time to just reset and have a think about things. Well, it was fascinating. I had two young people, you know, that I employed on the farm during COVID, who, it was great, you could give them work and they could make money while they were in that. But by the same token, then I had to make provisions how I kept them safe. They were out fencing and neither of them had fenced before. So it was a great experience. But, that ability to have some time to think about something and just have a bit of a reset is always valuable. So that's what I sort of would call out recreation too in the farming community. You know, Tim, the manager at Clinton, plays golf. And, you know, that's just invaluable that you get a break off the farm and you go and have a time to connect socially with people, a time away from things. So, you know, never underestimate recreation.
Yeah, I think that is a good note on which to finish. While you've just both been paying tribute to the leadership that was exceptional throughout the industry in terms of COVID-19, it really did help to safeguard our industry and also in turn make us safe, because we didn't have to worry about the big picture. Things, I think, went relatively smoothly in New Zealand by and large, and that really has seen the success of agriculture moving forward. We're on the front foot, whereas we very easily could have been on the back foot. Wouldn't have taken much for us to mess things up overseas with our markets, that, you know, those new pathways were so, so crucial. And I think that is a great note on which to finish. Andrew Morrison, Chair of Beef and Lamb New Zealand, Al McCone from WorkSafe New Zealand, thank you so much for your time in this podcast this afternoon.
Thanks for listening. Check out our other conversations or visit worksafe.govt.nz for more information about health and safety on farm. This podcast was made in conjunction with WorkSafe and NZME. Thanks to executive producers Rowena Duncombe and Nikki Verbeet. Audio editing and sound design by James Irwin of NZME's Sound and Vision team.